Vegas, and thank you for joining us on the show this afternoon. It's 6 minutes gone past the 3 o'clock hour, officially welcoming you to your most authentic news experience. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Hard Facts. I'm Mary Anna Korn. As usual, we're starting off with the big three stories for today. And what's in the news is that school bullying has taken a totally different dimension, and there are too many sides to this story today. A video emerged yesterday of the young girl apologizing for what she had done to her fellow classmates and asking that, you know, she'd be forgiven, I beg your pardon, for all that she had done. Also, we saw, you know, I think if you ask me, the mother of, you know, the girl that was a victim slapping the girl who perpetrated the act of bullying. Of course, that raises question marks, but there's a lot to unbundle. But also on the big stories today, El-Rufai versus Uba Sani is a very big conversation because his son, El-Rufai's son, has gotten into the conversation. And I have a guest who's joining me via Zoom to talk about the amount of monies that the sitting governor of Kaduna State has made public. In fact, he said that he inherited much more of a hemorrhaging, you know, economy in the state. And this has not sat well with those who are supporters of his former boss, Governor Nasir El-Rufai. My guest is someone that you know, of course. He's from Kaduna State, and he will be obviously giving us his unbiased position on what is happening, the political war, very cold one, that's taking place in Kaduna State. And there are more stories that we're going to be looking at. So once again, Lagos, welcome. Let's look at the big stories for today.
This is The Big Three.
The Big Three.
On Hard Facts. On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Millions of listeners trust us on Hard Facts. Whether it's politics, social issues, controversies, and trending stories, you know we're credible and objective.
It's Hard Facts with Marion Okun on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, Lagos, shall we get into the big stories for today? First on the big three, I'll resign if Yaya Bello is not prosecuted, says EFCC chairman. And you've seen that video, the outburst in that video. Well, we've got a lot to talk about on that particular one. Who else should be added to the list? I've got some ideas on who should be added to the list. Again, another story here talking about more and more of our people being killed by bandits. This time is in Kaduna State, which I'm also going to be asking Reverend Hayab about. Apparently, bandits have killed three people in a fresh attack in Kaduna State, and they've abducted eight. Yes. And of course, finally, the school bullying issue. But let me introduce to you the very Reverend Joseph Hayab. He's joining us via Zoom this afternoon. He is from Kaduna State. Of course, he pastors a church in Kaduna State. He's also, I beg your pardon, the chairman of the Christian Association of Nigeria in Kaduna State. Reverend Hayab, it's so good to join, have you join us. And I know that this was very short notice, but I appreciate you for saying yes.
Thank you for having me. I'm actually the former chairman of KAN Kaduna State. Oh. I rotated off in the last day of January this year. So I'm a retired chairman now.
former chairman, I see. Reverend Hayab, one word. I mean, we've known you to advocate for a lot of things across the board for Kaduna State, whether it be the killings, the kidnappings, the religious or tribal biases that have continuously, you know, drained the people of Kaduna State. But today we want to talk about the politics. This is, of course, the governance of your state. It was damning when an Uba Sani, who was supposedly would be seen by the rest of the country as El-Rufai's man, come out with such damning statement about the fact that, look, this is what I inherited, and, you know, questions need to be asked and accountability must be done. A lot of people, it didn't sit well, of course, with a lot of people, especially those who are supporters of Governor El-Rufai. But then this information, why now? Why is he telling us this now? I mean, he knew what he was going into. When the books were opened, I'm guessing that there was a committee that, you know, did it, some sort of transference of power and information. How come he didn't tell us that earlier on? Why did it take so long for Uba Sani to open up to the people of Kaduna State?
Well, the decision for Obasani to come up now and speak, I'm not in good position to either say why or why he did not. But one thing is sure, that when he received the books, he needed time to study the books. He needed time to understand the books. The books may be saying that certain money will come on time, just as when this matter came up, the former governor quickly said, no, you know, some of the project we did, the federal government is going to give money to Kaduna State, 40-something billion naira. But that is just a statement. There is nothing to back up with. So Uba have done what a leader should do by not in a haste to say negative things about the person he succeeded. But after a long time, he realized that, look, the truth is that there is no money. The truth is that we are in debt. The truth is that we have a lot of liabilities. The truth is that the money we borrowed purposely to do what we call urban development, our urban center is still not yet what we want. Contractors have abandoned site. And what happened? Who were they not giving money? Who took away the money? So since Uba wanted to carry the state alone, he's not trying to be a loner or that kind of governor who thinks he will say everything alone and execute it alone. So Uba have to bring Kaduna State people to explain to them why he's not paying salary, explain to them why the normal monthly allocation is not coming in full, because many of the monies have been tied into our monthly allocation. There is a part that you need to know, that few days or few weeks before the expiration of that administration, they went to a commercial bank and borrowed 20 billion naira.
What for?
That's the question. And they tied that 20 billion naira to the internal generating revenue. So whatever is being generated internally, the Kaduna State cannot even access it or use it, because the other people are just carrying the money from the source. So those are the issues we are talking about. And I, personally, as a person, I feel Uba showed maturity. If it were another person, the first week of arrival, he would have announced the trouble. The second week of arrival, he would have announced the problem, or the first month. But he took his time to study things and see whether there is a way out. So because, you know, in Nigeria, in leadership, it is not proper that the day you come, you start fighting the person that you succeed him. In most cases, it ends up very bad for you. So Uba haven't served for 6, 7, 8 months before telling people. Yeah, it all depends on the angle you look at it. But for me, I think he did right. He did well. What simply I expect of the Rufai people is, instead of fighting that why is this matter coming up, just come and explain. And this particular information now is not just Uba. Uba explained to the town hall meeting what was going on. But the House of Assembly needed to go further beyond what Uba said. And in the House of Assembly, the former House Speaker, who was the speaker during a Rufai government, was there. The fact about it is that his confession at the floor of the House is more damning than the statement credited to Obasani. Because he said, and I quote, that many of the things that were done, he was...
Oh, Reverend Hayab, are you still there? Oh, my goodness. I think that we've lost connection with Reverend Hayab. Hopefully we can get him back. But let me just conclude. Okay, Reverend Hayab, we have you back. We lost you for a few seconds, that connection there.
Yeah, I said the former speaker, in his confession in the House, said that so many things were done without his knowledge. But because the governor manipulated things and will always have his way. So, and there was even a time that his signature was forged. So he needs to add
Speaker said, if I got you right. The former speaker said that his own signature was forged.
Yeah.
On documents.
On documents. So they need to clarify whether those allegations are true or false. So it is important. You see, what I am advocating and insisting about is our leaders must be accountable. Well, you know, in this country, leaders just assume they own us. No, I disagree with that, because according to our constitution, we gave them appointment. We placed them to be in office. And because they take responsibility for the things we are not doing, that's why we pay them good salary. But sadly, they assume they own us. They keep us. They decide when we breathe and when we don't breathe. I think that wrong understanding must be corrected in Nigeria. If not, our leaders will not be accountable. Our leaders are feeling they are on top of everything, which is not true.
Can I ask you, I mean, I know that you're not a politician, but you're also obviously an elder statesman. You're someone who obviously is a leader of thought in your state. A lot of people look up to you for guidance. How best do you think that this issue is going to be handled? Because, of course, as we speak, these two are, you know, in a heated battle. In fact, El Rufai's son has come out to join, you know, in the battle to say really dastardly things about the governor. But that's on the side. How do you think that former governor El Rufai will be accountable to the people? Do you see this being handled properly? Is the EFCC going to step into this matter? Will the House of Assembly, I mean, what exactly, or if you were in the shoes of Governor Uba Sani, how would you rather that this goes, you know, as
no,
opposed
I think
to
the House of Assembly have started well. Yesterday, the Kaduna State House of Assembly wrote a letter to the Commissioner of Finance, Kaduna State, requesting that the Office of the Commissioner should furnish the House of Assembly with documents that explain the total loan that were received from May 2015 to May 2023, with the approvals of Kaduna State House of Assembly, the accounts into which the loans were lodged, and draw down as recorded by Project Finance Management Unit and Debt Management Office. That's what they want from the Ministry of Finance. They are also requesting the Ministry of Finance to give them relevant State Executive Council minutes of meeting, council extract and resolution with regard to all the loans. They are also asking the Ministry of Finance to give them documents that tells about payment and outstanding liability to contractors from May 2015 to May 2023. They are asking the Ministry of Finance to give them report of salaries paid to staff from 2016 to 2022. They are also asking the Ministry to give them reports of the Kaduna Internal Generated Revenue from 2015 to 2023. They are also asking to look at the terms, purposes, and conditions of all loans and appropriation items related to loans. They are also asking for all records of payment met to all contractors engaged by the state government and relevant documents from May 2015 to May 2023, including bank statement. So if they are asking for this document will definitely give them a clue to what happened. And so, since we run a government, someone will not tell me that those documents are not in government houses or in government offices. If they are not there, then we'll further prove to know why is money spent for us. We don't have the document. Because in government, documents that are used to spend our money, to approve expenditure of our money, should be kept in government. That's why when you come into government, you will know that the day will come, you will no longer have access to the key where those documents are kept. Someone will have. And that will always remind you to be honest, transparent, accountable, because if you are called, you can always explain without fear. I think the angle today that you are thinking and saying that there are groups supporting, there are no groups supporting. Some people are just already afraid when the truth is not yet out. And they are thinking by intimidating people and using very terrible language, they will stop the probe. I'm not sure that the House of Assembly in Kaduna State will be intimidated by that because they have the support and understanding of the larger Kaduna State people, because those roads that were claimed to have been constructed have not yet been constructed. We are still having challenge of driving on these bad roads. Our cars got spoiled. We still go to mechanics.
So you're saying
it is important that someone should explain what happened to our money. And if the papers are correct, then we know that probably the contractors didn't do right. We'll also know what the states would say about that.
So you're telling me that everything that Governor El Rufai had said he'd done, most especially those roads that they said they had constructed, even the one that the former president came to, you know, flag off, you're telling me that that road has not been constructed?
Yeah, there are many parts of the roads that have not been contracted because they were one contract. It's like you gave a contract for a construction of 5 kilometer roads. 3 kilometers have been constructed and you commission and abandon 2 kilometers. You've not yet done the project because the project is one. I'll give an example. The road from television to NMP, to Coca-Cola, to Peugeot, that road has not yet been done. But you will find somewhere near the road, the spot where Buhari came and commissioned the other one that went into Baranawa. Wow. Why will you treat your fellow citizens that way? Go to Kafanchan. The road that was given as contract from Kafanchan has been constructed to a particular part just inside the town. As you drive out of Kafanchan going to Kwe, to Ungwarimi, that road is still not good. The fact of the matter is, I even dropped through that road last week for a burial of a friend. So these are the challenges people are saying. But this money we are collected for this road, why did they abandon it? Those people supposed not to have gotten the money without completing the road. We supposed not to even rush in commissioning a project that we've not even completed. But the gimmick of politics, we wanted to. It is not another road. It is the same road. 3 kilometers contrasted, 2 kilometers not yet done. They have scrap everywhere and they've not done anything. And they commission it. Who will do the second 2 kilometers? And in which other money?
Interesting. I'm more interested in seeing this through. And you've given the audience the assurance that the people of Kaduna State are going to make sure that they support the governor and the House of Assembly to follow through. Because we've seen cases like this where monies have been misappropriated. Questions have been asked. The polity is hit. They heat up the polity. There's this whole media trial, and then the track goes cold. Again, for the purpose of emphasis, how certain are you that there will be a follow through, and the people of Kaduna State, for once, will get some
members of Kaduna State House of Assembly? We are elected by Kaduna State people.
Okay.
And it's Kaduna.
Oh, Reverend Hayab, are you still there? We're having that connection problem again with you, Reverend Hayab. Can you hear me?
Would have been constructed by our money. The roads are not in good shape.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear. We're having connection issues with you. I'm guessing that someone's trying to call you while you're on this call. Quickly, Reverend Hayab, we lost you again in 1 minute. Yeah. Because we have to go.
I say Kaduna State people are the ones asking questions. The governor have spoken, so we're asking our state assembly to find out what happened to the money we took as loan. Okay. Since the project has not been done. And I believe that this current House of Assembly know what it takes to be responsible to the people, and they will investigate and come out with an appropriate thing. If once facts are there, then we go further to EFCC. It's too early to talk about EFCC now.
Obviously.
Until the probe is done.
Well, I want to say thank you. Reverend Joseph Hayab is a former chairman of the Christian Association of Nigeria, Kaduna State Chapter. Thank you so much for speaking with us. We'll keep our fingers crossed and our eyes on the news to see how this story unfolds. Thank you. Well, Lagos, we're still looking at the big stories for today. I'm going to run through those big stories for you. Thank you very much, Reverend Hayab, for coming on the show. We appreciate it. I'll run through those stories once again for you. I'll open up the phone lines to take your thoughts and your comments right after the break. But first, let's look at the big stories. Starting with Kaduna State, bandits kill 3 and 8 abducted in fresh Kaduna attacks. The big question is, how many more people will have to die for our government to act on this issue of insecurity? Because we're talking a lot. There's a lot more jaw-jawing than the action plans and then, of course, the execution of these actions. But unfortunately, we're here still having this conversation. So I'm asking, how many more people will have to die? Again, we're looking at the issue of the EFCC versus Yaya Bello. I'll tell you what shocks me the most. Paying fees with monies that are taxpayers' monies up front, transferring it to a Baruda chain. It's the most damning information I've heard. But I'm asking you, Lagos, not necessarily about the crux of this story. I'm asking, who else do you think should be added to this list for the EFCC? Because as we speak, Hadi Sirica is there now and being questioned about, of course, monies. It's interesting. How much money do we have? Because the amount of monies that these guys keep. Ah, my goodness. And of course, talking about this school bullying issue, do you think the matter has been properly handled? 0201-465-7190 is the number for you to call. If you're joining the conversation, we're live. Facebook.com/Nigeria Info FM. We're also on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM 99.3. Join the conversation if you are listening on our mobile application or on our website. We're on Skype at Nigeria Info FM. So join the conversation, call us via Skype, or you can send me a message on our live stream if you're watching via the live stream, or send me a message on WhatsApp. I'd like to read from you. And that's 0809597585. Yes, 0809597585. Or join the conversation on X. Use the hashtag HardFacts and post your comments. We'll take a quick break. I'll be back in a few seconds. My name is Mariana Kuhn and this is Hard Facts.
Credible journalism. Bridging the gap between people and those in authority. With Hard Facts, you are sure to get only the facts.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Art Meabo International Art Festival presents Sculptor's Odyssey, a contemporary art exhibition that celebrates the art of sculpting through five awardees. This year, the awardees are the late Professor Ben Nwanu, Dr. Adeola Balogun, Pius Waritimi, Adebisi Adebayo, and Totun Pupuola, in partnership with MultiChoice Nigeria, JC Dakar, Origine, and Van Dyke Sports. Held at Ebony Life Place on the 29th of April with a special 6 p.m. viewing to the 1st of May 2024. Tickets available at wakaevents.ng with musical performances by Jukume and Made Kuti.
On the Morning Crossfire with me, Kofi Bartels. You have the big names, the most pressing issues, and the sharpest conversations.
He must leave that place of talking into the space of doing.
Muscles are paying through their nose, and you are telling them after training, they can't migrate. I will not be part of those who will give soft landing to these guys who are running the affairs of this country.
People are dying every day. In an hour, people just go in and come out and read out stories to us. Come on, Kofi.
We must step beyond the talk. We have the analysis.
Join us as we dissect the headlines, bring you exclusive interviews, and dive deep into the heart of the matter. The big conversations live here.
Join Kofi Bartels on the Morning Crossfire, weekdays 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. only on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We are back.
We're back
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
There's a reason why over 1 million people tune into Hard Facts every day. We discuss in-depth stories with sources behind the facts.
The Lagos State High Court has
sitting
convicted,
suspended the Chicago certificate. Stories
Hard
never
Facts,
going away, is it?
Show with stories for the day.
You hear diverse voices and opinions.
I was my competition, and if she was me, she can play with the husband, knowing that.
You should not be happy because there is nothing to happy about.
Yeah, it's quite pathetic the way the country is going.
We distinguish each story accurately with analysis.
It's Hard Facts with Marianne O'Connor on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Back, I'd like to hear you and what you have to say about the three big stories that we have, and of course the problems that are brewing in Kaduna State, or you might say the accountability that's about to take place in Kaduna State. And we just spoke with Reverend Joseph Hayab, who's from Kaduna State, and he's the former Christian Association of Nigeria chairman in the state. 0201465-7190, that's the number for you to call me. Or better still, you could join the conversation via Skype. If you're listening to us from outside of the country, join us with Nigeria Info FM on Skype. Yes, of course. You could also join the conversation by sending me a message on WhatsApp or on, what do you call it now, X. I still call it Twitter. I think that what's his name, asked us the other day what we still call it, and I call it Twitter. Anyway, join the conversation. I'd like to hear from you. 60 seconds is the time that you have. Go straight to the point. Hello. Welcome.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon, Mariam.
Good afternoon.
My name is Sebastian Sender. I'm calling from Benue State, Ikonde Local Government, Jatoka.
All right, Sebastian, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mariam, what I want to talk, I want to thank our EFCC chairman. May God give him a power to work for Nigeria. Let him stand and work for Nigeria. And I'm begging Mr. President, let him give the man a chance to work for we Nigeria, because those politicians, they are looting our money, enjoying with their family, and we massive, we are suffering. So as God give us this man. Let the man do his job. Nobody should not intimidate the man. God will give you a long life. Nobody is above the law. Anybody that looted our money, EFCC should go after that person.
Okay.
I'm begging Mr. President, let the man work for us all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Sebastian, for calling. Benjamin is calling us here from Ikoyi. Hello, Benjamin. Thank you for joining us.
Mariam.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Mary Ann, not Mariam. All of you that are rechristening me.
Mary Ann. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Benjamin Chidever is my name.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I listened to the man in the interview now, the Reverend, the Christian
Association.
He spoke very well. I wish that some other people will emulate him from other states and emulate the governor of Kaduna State to do the same thing. Probe those ones that looted the treasurer of the state. And again, pertaining to what your question we asked about the ministers, I don't think that it's only the aviation minister and all these things you need to be probed. All the whole ministers that...
Yeah, I asked you. You feel free to tell me what other name should be added to the list. Of course, we can't just bombard them, but they have to take them in.
I don't think that I will forget about the one that humanitarian minister, the one that shared money during the Buhari regime. That one should be called for, again, to account for the service you render for the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And also the power and the power sector and the petroleum minister we have during the Buhari regime should come and
The president was the petroleum minister, though.
He should come. If it is the petroleum minister, he should come and account for the whatever this thing for the Nigerians.
Okay.
And the box minister also.
So the EFCC should get the vice former president back. Come,
yes.
I see. Let's see how powerful the EFCC is going to be or how forthright they're going to be in this fight. Emmanuel is calling us from Ekpe. Hello, Emmanuel. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Miriam.
Good afternoon.
For people who should be brought back to make some explanation, I think the former chief of army staff.
Which of them?
Brutai.
Okay.
How they spent the money in the military then, and then some allegations, you know.
Let me let you down easy already, Emmanuel. Military spendings and military monies are very shrouded in secrecy, and half the time it's not probed.
I know, but they are not above the law.
Well.
Then the former minister of finance. Then the former attorney general, you know, the Ulabalo about the money recovered, you know, by EFCC, because I think EFCC was domiciled under his this thing. That was why the former EFCC, Magu, you know, was let out of office. So I think those people should be brought back. Then for the issue of Yaya Bello.
You have a few seconds, quickly.
I want encouragement, you know, for the present EFCC chairman. You know, I think they've done their own work. I won't want them to disappoint me because it's hard to put your trust, you know, in Nigeria government officials. But I want Nigerians, because when we keep saying that it's just a movie, he's heading nowhere, you know, if the man keep listening to this, he might be discouraged. I want us to encourage him. Thank you, and good afternoon.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Rapper Chukwu is calling us from Lagos. Hello. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Marianne.
Yes.
Rapper Chukwu.
I know. Go ahead. You've got 60 seconds.
Good. EFCC boss saying he will resign if Yaya Bello is not prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, that one, leave matter, that one story, he end up in grammar. He will not resign anything.
How are you so certain? I mean, if he feels so strongly about it.
This man, Yaya Bello, he feels he belongs to the Kakus. He belongs to the ruling party. And they are untouchable. They are secret cows, you know, that others like him have been doing it and getting away with it, and nobody questions them. How will his own be different? Why are they disturbing him?
Okay.
So that's why he's hiding. And, you know, if EFCC want to get him, they will have get him since. They are getting others. Why his own will be different to get?
Okay.
What I told you, are they telling us?
If all right.
We are in FTC, yeah, things will be forgiven.
Okay, Rapper, your time is up.
The others in money abuse, they get them.
All right. But thank you very much, Rapper, for calling. 60 seconds for everyone, okay? Robert is calling us from Apapa. Hello.
Good afternoon, Miriam.
Thank you for joining us.
You see the reason why these governors, whenever they want to leave, they would like to plant somebody who will cover their mess. You understand? Mm. And when they are there, they look very saints, like holy angels, like people who are they don't have sin. But when they leave, you begin to hear a lot from them. Most of them do commission or completed projects. We have one in Lagos, Abode. That one is commissioned in OCD, has not been completed, and he brought Buhari to come and commission it. Now, on insecurity, Marian, like yesterday I told you, if you don't bring state police, you will not get results in this insecurity we are talking about. I'm telling you, I'm a security man. Look, when you talk of terrorism and all the bad things, they are the work of the police, not soldier. Soldier work is to fight against external aggression. Internal security is for police. If you establish police, you are bringing security closer to the people. They will know the look at cranes of where all these people are hiding, and they will beat them out. You understand? That's just the solution to this problem. It's all we're going to cry every day on radio. Thank you very much, Miriam.
Thank you, Robert, for calling. Just for those of you who are just joining us, the program is Hard Facts. 99.3 Nigeria Info is the station, and we're broadcasting live from our audiovisual studios right here in Itamiyang Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos. I just remembered my father. Itamiyang Crescent, Victoria Island, Nigeria. And if you're listening to us or watching us live on social media, on YouTube or on Facebook, and you want to call or be part of the conversation, it's either that you post your comments on the live stream, or you could join us via Skype. It's Nigeria Info FM. Or better still, send me a WhatsApp message on 0809-959-75805. That's 0809-959-75805. Or better still, you could join the conversation by calling 0201-465-7190. Chidozie is calling me from Lekki. Hello, Chidozie. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, what I want to say is that the press conference by the EFCC chairman was just mimicking and gimmicking. First of all, he said Yaya Bello had how many police, mobile policemen and counter-terrorist personnel, military security personnel with him. Why didn't he put a phone call across to the IG of police and the National Security Advisor, who is the former EFCC chairman himself, to instruct those security men to arrest Yaya Bello and bring him out and hand over to the EFCC? Are they not of the same government? They're all of the same government. So why didn't he just put a phone call across to the IG of police and tell him to order his men to bring out Yaya Bello from there and hand over to them? If it was a common person that is accused of maybe 20 million naira, he wouldn't escape from them the way Yaya Bello escaped. And then what he did yesterday was mere media trial. Ihu Ribadu did the same thing. In 2006, he said 30 governors were guilty of corruption, mentioned a lot of names. Today, he's serving under the government of one of them, and he's in the same party with many of them. So these people should stop this media trial and just go ahead and do their job.
Okay.
They treat big men differently when they're accused of stealing billions. Right. But if it's a common person that is accused of stealing just 10 million naira or even 20 million naira, they will apply this letter of justice.
I have to let you go because your time is up, but thank you very much. I do not understand the point that you're making, and there's a lot of skepticism that's involved in this conversation, stemming from the moment Yahya Bello came into the conversation with the EFCC and money laundering and all the information that they've put out there, because we're suffering from I'm looking for the nicest term. It's a traumatic experience for us in Nigeria, because just as you said, many times they tell us that this person did this. We've got the facts. We're going to go get him. We're putting his head on a chopping board. But then at the end of the day, we have nothing. For example, there's a certain state governor that's got a perpetual court injunction. He's never going to be able to face the EFCC. He might die. And nothing will be done. Our monies will never be retrieved. And the people of his state will never get justice or accountability. And yes, his wife is a judge. His daughter, too. And so, just like you said, well, Nuhu Ribadu is now our NSA boss. But he was the FCC boss. How many people was he able to really catch, aside from the media trial? So there's too many questions that need to be asked. Is Olukoyede able? Is he fit for the job? Not just fit, but can he stand against all of the principalities and powers and the people that are in high places in this country, including looking his boss in the eye and saying, I'm going to take this guy down, whether you're with me or not. And is he going to be going down like Magu? These are the questions that we're all asking. Or is this just another gimmick for us to say, hey, Baba, they work? I don't know. 020-1465-7190. Hello.
Marianne.
Yes, good afternoon. You have 60 seconds. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good afternoon. Yeah, I can say from Ikedu.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Marianne, I just got attention from the person you interviewed. That guy is a very good analyst. But I give kudos to the Kaduna State speaker. Whatever he put on ground, if they can follow it up, same in Marianne, how can LFI going to survive this? But I don't want a media trial, as Zinapla just said. Mm-hmm. But if you can follow that action that they put on ground from the House of Assembly there, I think something is going to fix that. And let me tell you one thing. I think our boss, that is the President Tinubu, if you can allow them and give them free hand to do their work, they are going to get something out of this. Okay. Nobody is going to be an ally for this time around, I'm telling you.
Okay. Thank you. Let's keep our fingers crossed. I mean, because if one person's going to be nipped and then he's going to be singing like a canary, the songs might take different dimensions, you know? And a lot of people might be hurt. But are we ready? And is Olukayede ready? Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
My name is Chuk from Estimator.
Chuk, you need to speak up, please, so we can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Is it better now?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Chuk from Temeta. Okay, concerning Olukayode, I see him as somebody serious for the job. And I believe that he will stick to his word unless they tactically want to remove him through, you know, this other man. Because if Bello is children from prosecution, that man will resign and take him for his words.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Let me read some messages that are coming in so I can go back to the phone lines. On YouTube Live, Abu Gregory here says, EFCC knows exactly where to get this alleged Yahaya Bello. Because it is a common man, I mean, or if it were, I'm sure that's what you mean, a common man, they would have finished him out long time ago. Power is transient, he says. Let me go to WhatsApp and read some of your messages as they're coming in. This one says, when you tell serving governors abusing their executive powers to thread with caution because there's a different life after power, many of them will ignore you, subsumed by the hubris of that they are superhuman. Well, power is transient. Yahaya Bello needs to be prosecuted. Lushoga, thank you for your message. This one says, school bullying shouldn't be encouraged in any way. The school management and the Ministry of Education should deal decisively with those involved, irrespective of who their parents are. Teachers and school owners should also be able should be protected by from bully parents who threaten them for disciplining their children. Absolutely, I totally stand by that. Then he says the EFCC boss should do his job and stop taking Bello's case personal. Compile your evidence and charge them to court. If found wanting, let them face the music. Enough of this talk and all these threats. Toby from Ikotun. Going back to the school bullying issue, because, you know, I don't want it to be overtaken by events. It was not just one person that was in that video. I could have counted at least four voices. And they're all speaking in, you know, Hausa language. And there was a boy, I could tell you, that it was a boy that was maybe recording that video. And of course, I can also tell you authoritatively that that video would have been recorded because they wanted to further bully her and probably put it on a WhatsApp chat room or something so that they could continuously make a mess of that girl. And God knows what's going on in that little girl's head. But the fact that it's just one person that were pinning it on, yes, 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 that person was the one caught in the video abusing the other girl. But then the others who were applauding and, you know, edging her on, all of them, heads need to roll. Why are their parents shielding them? And that's why I'm asking you guys, because, you know, I'm not a parent. So some people say, oh, well, you're not a parent, so you have no right. I was, they tried to bully me, but the Agbero in me did not let it happen. That's a story for another day. But on a serious note, was this case really properly handled? Let's take a call from Skype. Simon Collins is calling us via Skype. Hello, Simon. Good afternoon. Where are you calling us from?
Yeah, good afternoon, Marianne. It's yeah. Simon calling from Belgium.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, this media trial that this current EFCC chairman is doing. Playing game. What happened to Magu? The last EFCC chairman, what happened to him? This one also, you are talking about who are they going to be involved in this thing. We have Gandola, is there. What of governor of Sokoto State? A lot of them, Mariam, who are you going to catch? Who are you going to leave? So the issue is this.
Well, the EFCC has got its job cut out for it. I mean, they signed up for it, so they better get to their jobs. What do you mean by who will you catch, who will you leave? Catch everybody.
Catch everybody. How many? What of the one that the Magu recovered? Where is it? Where are the money? Mariam, who did this to us? That's my question. And good evening.
All right. Thank you very much, Collins, for calling. I do appreciate it. Good questions that are being asked there, because, of course, there are those who are saying this can be a distraction. But I'd like to ask Mr. Lukoyede, with due respect, Mr. Lukoyede, what's happening with the Better Edu case? Is this a distraction? Because I hear that she's taking pictures and commissioning things and doing her work on the low. So maybe they're trusting that we'll forget about it because she's in Mr. President's camp and it might be a matter of another day. Because, of course, what happened was another media drama. So are we being distracted from the Better Edu case? Because this is what politicians in this country do, especially for those of you who are not paying attention. Remember what my guest said yesterday, we never really pay attention. And so every time they just toss something new to us. They know how to play us like football. And then we take a hook, line and sinker. Are you going to fix your attention on all of the other stories that they've maybe tactfully swept under the carpet? Or are we just going to jump up for Yaya Bello and Ganduji and Hadi Sirika? They just throw us a bone and then we jump around at it. Are we going to start looking at these issues and paying attention, focusing our attention on these stories and not moving away from it and putting pressure on them until they see at least one of it through? Or are we just going to go with the train? Because I'm guessing that they're betting on it. Back to the phone lines. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Action, lady.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chris.
Good afternoon. Mm-hmm. That is Nigerian factor. Always come to play. You remember, oh Lord, my God, my Jesus, you remember? Oh Lord, my Lord, you remember now? They jump roof, break ceiling, break everything, enter. Today, did you hear anything? Actually, did you hear anything again? Magu own. I was telling Magu then, don't drown alone. Please, don't drown alone. When does he say the guy want to open up? Before you know it, they soft pedal. And I've told this guy, I told the king of radio, Kofi Bertel, that this man should watch his back. This one that is there today. Is it not Nigeria? Who you want talk? Is it the one you mentioned? 1.3 trillion of that state money. At the end today, nothing. If we already not do them, now these people waiting there today go do them.
Okay.
Like I always say, the ball is in our court. We Nigerians, when we ready, we are more than them in numbers.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chris, for calling. 60 seconds is all you have, Lagos. Let me go back to WhatsApp. Someone here says, Uba Sani revealed the secret when the going gets tough between him and El-Rufai. And when Rufai's son attacked Sani's regime, the governor said he should be careful. If not, he would expose the atrocities committed by his father. that's a Nollywood movie about to unfold, isn't it? Chooks from Ikorodu here says, good afternoon, Marianne. I know there seems to be a dichotomy between people of Southern Kaduna and Northern Kaduna. I want your guest to inform us. Well, my guest is gone. I'm so sorry. And so he really can't, talk about this. This one says, El-Rufai made insulting and vilifying Jonathan a profession. He spearheaded a vicious campaign of calumny against the former president. Remember his allegation of killer squad of Jonathan? Today, his incompetent and shady character are being exposed for the whole world to see. And Dose from Maryland, thank you for your message. Bello is completely worse than an... Oh my God, an armed robber. Really, how do you know this? This is terrible for you to say about him. He says he must have fished out... He must be fished out and treated... Jonathan, careful with your words, okay? Take it easy. Someone's asking for my Instagram handle. MIMIEYO. Got it? This one says, please, I like EFCC to invite Lai Mohammed for a chat. Chris from Ramakurudu, what did he do to you, Chris? it's not supposed to be a personal invitation. It's if we've got evidence, or you've got evidence, or you petitioned the EFCC to say this man stole a lot of money. I mean, I want someone to ask me who I think should be on the list. Someone here says, with all the monies these guys are stealing like this, waiting come remain. Emeka from the United States. Emeka, if you ask me, this one says, I can't believe my eyes that killings and abductions in Kaduna State still persist. I suppose this trusted government made a solemn promise that such horrendous incidents would never repeat itself again. The most recent development is like a mirage before my very eyes, and it affects my mental health negatively. And at the mention of it, I'm so sorry that you feel that way. This one says, wake up, government, and put an end to terrorism in Nigeria. Chisco, thank you. This one says, the way I see Yaya Bello's case is the head of the fish that's rotten. What do you expect? The leader said, grab it and run away with it. INEC said, go to court. Nothing will come out of this case. I'm 80 years old. I talk in proverbs. Lara, Grandma Lara, how are you? Long time no speak. Okay. I've got about 2 minutes on the clock. Let me quickly run through your messages, okay? Because I don't have time anymore. I want to make sure everyone's covered. This one says, look, we have more than many politicians who looted the treasury of this country, crisscrossing the globe, trotting and in and outside the shores of this country. Unfortunately, it's only those who are not in the good books of APC presidents that are being hunted by EFCC. Boyesen, I'm afraid you think that way. But of course, you do have a reason why you should think that way. This one says, it seems EFCC is awakening to its responsibilities. Is Yaya Bello bigger than Kogi State or the nation as a whole? Strip the man of the power and watch how he cowers in shame. For how long will we continue in this theatrics, Marianne? For how long? As for the bullying issue, this matter shouldn't slide. Everyone in that video is culpable and should be made accountable. Bullying must die amongst our schooling environments, Mr. Bully from Ikorodu. Let me quickly see if I can take a quick message here from our Facebook Live, and then of course we're gonna round things up here because I have just one minute. So let me quickly look at the messages on Facebook. Daya Dada says, I want to ask, can the corrupt fight corruption? What do you expect of a cash and carry government? Daya, you need to quit sending us this, your same message every day. Sunday Wogu says, we're anxiously waiting to see if indeed EFCC chair will resign when the charges against Yaya Bello are swept under the carpet at that agency in the way those appointed him want. Otherwise, very soon he will be addressed as one of the past chairmen of EFCC. Wow. It's the little faith that we have, so very little faith that we have in the system. But can you blame Nigerians for having this very little faith? It's not their fault, is it? It's the system in itself. It's raped our mindsets. They've also traumatized us so much that even when they mean, you know, they mean good, they mean the best, we're just like, yeah, whatever. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate your message. Someone says, EFCC should go after this individual. Somebody sent me like a list of 6 people. Abdullahi Adamu, Gospel Akpabi, Odris or Kalu, Baba Chelawa, Rotimi Amechi, Abdullahi Abdulaziz Yaziri. Oh, by no, let me add one name. Senator Professor Ayade. Yes, he did a number in my state. He should be number one on that list, don't you think so? We've got to go on a break, Lagos. When we come back, we'll take a quick break.